Good morning. Isn't God good? Y'all wake up this morning? Looks like it. God's good. I'm thankful for the songs this morning. We're thankful for God coming down from His glory to save souls like us. I'd like to start with the question is, what's the soil of your heart like? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that You would come and meet with us today, throughout this whole day, Lord God. I pray, Father, for a blessing upon the ears here. And God, that You would just use me, Lord God, as a vessel with You inside. Father, that they would hear You and not me. Father, just guide me this morning. I pray, Lord God, that You'd bless our service here, Lord God, as Lord, I present Your Word. I pray, Father, that, Lord, we could take some time and examine how's the soil of our hearts. And, Father, so we could understand where we need to be. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about some ground. Brother Timothy talked about some ground. If you don't take care of it, it's not going to bring forth fruit. It's not going to bring forth grass. So here in Mark chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1. It says, it's talking about Jesus. And He began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in His doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit. That sprang up and increased. And some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So He's talking about a sower that was sowing seed. And we'll go up further in this chapter, and it'll explain what kind of soil these people had. It said, let him that hath ears, let him hear. So, you hear that hath ears, hear what God has to say about the sower. In verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And so here's the seed being sown, and as the word of God's presented, seeds being sown. And here, this is the seed that came by the wayside. Satan comes immediately and snatches away and taketh away the seed that was sown. And so it'd be like us here today, as messages are presented, that if the word comes to you and you don't get anything out of it, nothing comes, then Satan's probably coming in and snatching away the seed. But I want to go a little bit deeper than today, and I want to think about our lives and our walk with Jesus Christ. And think, we've been presented, I know throughout the messages this weekend, we've been hearing a lot of things. Brother Roy was talking about how we have so much here. We've been given so much, raised in the families we've been raised in, going to the churches that we've been going to. And yet, where much is given, much will be required. But then if we're going to look at our life and consider the seeds that have been sown throughout the years, has the devil come in and snatched them out? Has the word fell by the wayside in your life? Let's go on. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So here's the ones that have stony ground. They receive the word, and so the word of God comes, and they receive it with gladness of heart. And then out springs forth some life in your life. But there was no root. And so they endured for a time. But when affliction and persecution arised, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Remember, the Bible says, all that will live righteously in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so these were those that had the seed sown upon stony ground. But when affliction came and persecution, immediately they were offended. So as we consider where we're at, have we experienced God sowing in our lives? Have we experienced the joy of the seed coming into our lives and then walking for a while? But then when affliction came, how did you respond? Were you offended? Were you hindered? It says in verse 18, and these are they which sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choked the word, and it became unfruitful. So here's the word of God sowing among thorns. So has there been thorns in your life? It says such, so when you hear the word, so you hear the word, and then the cares of this world come, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choked the word, and it became unfruitful. Has the word of God become unfruitful in your life? Has the cares of this world become more than the word of God in your life? Has the deceitfulness of riches come and choked the word of God in your life? Or the lust of other things entering in? This is that which is sown upon thorny ground. What is the soil of your heart? It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. So here, as Jesus said as he was speaking this parable, let him that hath ears, let him hear. So as we consider the soil of our heart, and we think about our life, what have we allowed in? I want today not only to consider the soil of our heart, but also to know what we can do to prevent the damage of the thorns and how we can have God till the soil of our heart so we could bring forth fruit, some 60, some 30, and some 100-fold. I'd like to go to I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. See when I get there. Sorry, it's 2 Timothy 3. So as we consider the soil of our heart, this is going to go and talk about the last times. So I want to think about some of the things that choke us, the riches, the pleasures of this world. This is going to talk about things here that can choke you up. In verse 1 in chapter 3 in 2 Timothy, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I believe we're definitely in the last times, because many of these things we can see manifested in the church. We can see manifested in the lives of our friends. We can see manifested in our own lives. Lord, help us there. Think men, lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasting, proud, blaspheming, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Are we lovers of our own selves? We sang tonight, "Oh, how I love thee, how I adore thee." Do you love God? Do you adore Him? He says, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. Today, I don't want to just challenge, but I want to encourage also. And this chapter will be an encouragement as we come down. But I want to consider, what is the soil of our heart? What is going on in our lives? What's coming out of our lives? Do we love ourselves more than we love our neighbor? Do we love ourselves more than we love God? Are we covetous? Are we full of boasting? Are we proud? Do we blaspheme? Are we disobedient to parents? Are we unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God? I talked yesterday about loving the Word of God. Where do you find your joy? Where do you find your pleasure? Do you find it wrapped up in the Word of God? Is that what you love most? Do you love God most? Or do you love pleasure more than you love God? Do you love activity more than you love God? Do you love yourself more than you love God? These are people that is talking about here, that will be in the last time. This was not a good fruit. This was not ground that was fertile. This was not good ground. This could be the choked up ground that choked away and choked the Word, and you became unfruitful in your life. It says, "For of this sort are they which creep in." It says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So here again, it's having a form of godliness. So that can be any one of us here, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You may say today, you know what? I've tried to live a life for God. I've got excited. I've had an experience in my life. And I believe I got saved. But it seems to have gotten choked up. It seems to, when the sun came out, to be scorched. It seems to have been when the message came that I lost it soon after. And so this is when Satan comes in and snatches away the Word. Or the stony ground, when persecution came, because there was no root. I'm going to tell you, you need to be rooted in the Word of God. You need to find your pleasure where David found his pleasure, in the Word of God. Beware of the thorns that can come into your life, the things of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life, things that don't bring forth fruit unto holiness. It says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead away and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these men. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So it's talking about, this is the type of people, those that withstood Moses, withstood the word of God. He says, you know what? It's going to be stopped, as it was stopped here in the Old Testament. In verse 10, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life. So here's where a more encouraging part comes in. To say, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. This is fruit that was coming forth out of good ground. Says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So here's persecution came in Paul's life. But here, what was flowing out of his life, he had purpose. He had faith, he had long-suffering and charity and patience. There was fruit abounding in his life because his life, the seed was planted in good soil. Yet when persecution came, God delivered him out of them all. It says, yea, and all that will live righteously and godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's talking to, it's not going to get better. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's a fearful thing to stand in the place of deceiving and being deceived, because oftentimes you begin to believe what you're deceiving others in. But here Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So here he's encouraging Timothy here. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. So those here that have found the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and have been taught the word of God, I exhort you to continue in the things which you have learned. He says, you've known the holy scriptures which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I just love it how the Word of God often puts the emphasis on through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It constantly reminds us where our faith lies in, where our victory lies in. It's in Christ Jesus. But it's talking to Timothy. This is one who the seeds were sown since he was a child. And it was bringing forth fruit. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here, I'd encourage you that know the Word of God, that the seed has fallen on good soil. Continue. Continue in the things that you have learned. And praise God for those that have brought the Word of God to you, that have planted the seeds in your life, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all these things, the Word of God is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for your life. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. All these things, the Word of God is profitable for. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The psalmist, as he writes how he loves the Word of God, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes." The Word of God is powerful. Right for righteousness, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. He continues on in chapter 4 and verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." So He gives them a charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. When God comes back, He's going to judge the quick and the dead. He says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all authority." Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I was getting Titus mixed up here. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to unto fables." So as we consider the soil of a heart, I think of the Proverbs where it says, "A wise man heareth instruction, but a fool does not." He's telling Timothy here, "You preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He says, do it now. Because the time's going to come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It says they'll do this after their own lust. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. I'm going to tell you, it's happening in our churches. It's happening in our homes. And I ask you, are you one that's resisting the truth? Or are you as Timothy, where you're taking the counsel, you're taking the Word of God that you've been taught and growing there? Is it bringing forth fruit in your life? What? Are you able to be rebuked? Are you able to be reproved? Are you able to be exhorted by the Word of God? Do you accept that? Or is it too hard for you to endure sound doctrine? What are you heaping to yourselves? It says, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. So this is after their own lust, going after their own desires of their own flesh. Going after teachers having itching ears, things that please them, instead of things that challenge them. Rebuke is not a very pleasant thing when I get rebuked. Reproof is not normally the most pleasant thing, but it is a blessing. It is a blessing when somebody can stand and say, "Hey, brother, is that found in the Word of God? Hey, brother, are you walking uprightly?" Because if our desire is to seek the face of God, then we're also going to want to receive rebuke and counsel and instruction. We're also going to want to immerse ourselves in the Word of God and know more about Him so we can become more like Him. So we can please our Savior, the one who died for us and gave Himself for us. It says here in verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction." So here again, it's called, watch in all things, endure afflictions. "And do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance, his appearing. So he's calling out Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Come out, you share the gospel with people. He's exhorting them to teach them, to rebuke, to exhort. He says, you know what you've been taught. You know what you were taught from a child. Make full proof of your ministry. The time of my departure is at hand. And I think of Brother Roy as he talked about his grandpa about to die. And he says, who's going to stand? Who's going to tell others about Jesus Christ? Paul here is exhorting Timothy, you press on. You press on with the things that you've learned. You exhort. You teach. You rebuke. You remind them of the Word of God. The time's going to come and they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is a testimony of his life, of the soil of his heart being good. It says, henceforth, so therefore there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that he's looking forward to the crown of righteousness that he's going to get. He said, but it's not for me only. It's for all those that love his appearing. But then he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Nica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He says, come quickly. Do thy diligence to come. He says, Demas has forsaken me. So here's Demas. He's forsaken Paul. He says, having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas, the soil of his heart, was not good. It says, having loved this present world. We go back to Mark chapter 4. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word of God, and it becometh unfruitful. Demas had tares in his life. Demas had tares that choked up the word, and he forsook the ministry. He forsook having loved this present world, having loved the world. So consider here again the soil of your heart. Where is your love? What are you looking for in life? Where is your life? Do you love this world? Are the things of this world choking you up? Paul was exhorting Timothy to continue in the things which thou hast learned. He was challenging him. He's talking about knowing the Scriptures from a child, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He was talking about not only that, but now go and preach it. Don't stop there. Don't stop at knowing Jesus Christ. Don't stop there and think that that's the call of a Christian. But move on and tell other people about Jesus Christ. Let fruit abound in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, something's going to grow. in your life and in your walk. And most likely it's going to be tares, but it's going to be fruit unto God. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul was fighting the fight. Paul didn't stop at salvation. Paul didn't stop on the road to Damascus when he got saved. And they said, yep, that's enough. There was a calling further. And God has called us to go on to perfection. God has called us to add to our faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about adding to your faith. There's multiple things. It says if you, that these things are not in, let's go there to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's talking to the saints here once again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Here again, it's through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ that we receive the precious faith. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. These are wonderful promises. These are exciting things. These are things that we get to be partakers of through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The divine power of God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So here's these things that we get to be partakers of when we become partakers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here again, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, being partakers of the precious promises, these things that are given to us. It says, and besides this, in verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So here you come to faith in Jesus Christ. You receive His Spirit, you receive His life. He says, now I want you to add to these things. Now I've told you what you've been giving as a Christian. Now add these things. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are things that you can till the soil, the ground in your heart, in your life, by adding these things that He's called us to add. He says, for if you do these things, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Right now it's really critical. It's something that often happens is we forget that we were cleansed. We forget that we were purged. We forget that we were set apart. We forget that we are not our own. We forget that the old man has been crucified, that the body of sin has been destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We forget the purging that Christ has done in our lives. He says, if these things aren't flowing out in your life, He says, you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So He's calling, hey, remember what Christ has done. Add to your faith. If you obey my word, if you do these things, then you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. So here he's talking to the saints once again. He says, you know these things, and you're established in the truth, but I want to remind you of these things. He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So here, again, so we had Paul coming, and it was about time for him to die. It was about time for him to be offered up. And he was putting Timothy, he was reminding him to stand fast, to stand in the things that he was taught, in the Word of God. He says, what the Word of God was given for. It was profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof, for rebuke. He told him to minister and preach to this world. It says it's going to come a time when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. And Peter, right before his departure, says, I'm going to tell you what you're given in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what you need to add to your faith. It's not adding to your faith so you could be made right with God. It's not doing these things so that you could be saved. It was through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then it was going on and growing in the knowledge of Him that He's called us to as children of God. That would bring forth fruit in our lives unto holiness. And Peter says, add these things to your faith, and then you'll have fruit abounding in your life. He says, but if it's not in your life, you've forgotten that you were purged. He says, but remember, you know what? I'm about to depart, and I want to put these things back in remembrance so you can remember these things, so that you don't fall, so you don't walk in sin. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, and then Peter says, and after my decease, I want you to put these things in remembrance. So here, as we examine the soil of our hearts, are we a Demas or are we a Paul? Are we a Peter, or have we forgotten what God has done in purging us and cleansing us? Would we have the testimony of Timothy in our life? That Paul could say, hey Timothy, you've known these things from a child. Continue in the things that thou hast learned. You know, it's interesting that, you know, Paul, he didn't have these things from a child. He had much of the Word of God from a child, but he wasn't born again young. But God used him in his life. God used Paul to bring forth the gospel. God used Timothy to be a minister of the gospel of the truth from a child. So it doesn't matter when you got saved, where you're at, what you've known. Are you growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I think of I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And I want to think, as we've been thinking about the Word of God, and we've been thinking about how it's profitable for us, here's Peter saying, as newborn babes, just like a baby, you now desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I'm going to think of a child, a baby. They want the milk. They want food. Do you desire the sincere milk of the Word? Peter was encouraging them and commanding them, as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I'm going to think of a baby, and you don't feed it milk, it's not going to grow. When you feed it milk, it grows fast. It grows a lot faster than us adults. When we, as Christians, don't get in the Word of God, we don't grow. We don't grow. But when we get in there and love it, we grow. Why? Because that's where our strength comes from. And so, here today, I'm encouraging you, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Desire it just like a newborn babe desires it. And watch God grow you in the knowledge of Him. What's the soil of your heart? Is there a desire in your heart for the Word of God? Is there a desire in your heart to know Him? I plead with you today. Consider where you're at. Consider the direction that you've taken in life. I know man's not been perfect. They've not been the perfect example to you. But Jesus Christ is. When you allow Him to be your focus, when you allow the Word of God to be your life, you will never become unsatisfied with seeking the face of God. You will never become unsatisfied with growing in the knowledge of Him. There will never be a void in your heart when you love the Word of God. There's going to be a longing, though, to know more. There's going to be a longing to tell other people about Jesus Christ. There's going to be a longing in your heart to say, "Beloved, don't run that way. Don't choose those things. Those things will choke you up. Will choke you up. And it won't bring forth fruit in your life." We think of the talents. How God has given each and one, every one of you here a talent. What are you doing with that talent? Get in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Seek Him. Let it become your life. Let it become your joy. Let it become your satisfaction. And you'll never become unsatisfied. I remember doing things my own way. And how it always left a void. Do you have a void in your heart today? Do you feel stagnant in your walk? There's hope. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in His Word. There's life. I want to warn you that there's many deceptions out there in this world. In Colossians chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So here again in Christ Jesus, it's going to talk about, "In Him are hid all the treasures in wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." So this I'm putting a warning. This will be my last time speaking this time, and I'm thankful for bearing with me. But I want to encourage you, and I want to warn you here, as Paul's warning people, to be careful. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. It's going to come with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So, He wants us, He's speaking these things because He wants you to know, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He says, as ye have therefore received Jesus, or Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So as you today, or whenever you've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, He's encouraging him, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. So here's the roots. Rooted and built up in Christ. This is what's going to bring forth fruit in your life, is when your roots are built up, when you're rooted in God, in Christ, built up in Him. This is what's going to bring forth fruit in your life. This is what's going to be that when temptations come, when trials come, when persecution comes, you're going to be able to withstand because you're rooted in Jesus Christ. But it says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. I think of the armor of God. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. But He says, take the whole armor of God. Not just faith. Not just part of it. He has peace, which is preparation of the God. It has preparation of the gospel of peace. It's what you need to have shod, your feet shod with. Talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But here it says, rooted and built up in Him. This is rooted and built up in who? Jesus Christ. And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, here again, if we remember where Timothy was taught. He says, here again, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So abounding therein, but also with thanksgiving. Remember, people were unthankful. And here he's saying, be thankful. But then he's going to give a warning. He says, beware, lest any man spoil you. And remember in the Old Testament where they came in and spoiled the tents of the enemy. They came in and brought back a great spoil. It's that takeaway as booty. It's coming in. It says, beware lest any man spoil you. And so you're thinking, how could I become spoiled? How can I be taken away? It says here, through philosophy. So here comes in philosophy. And there in verse 4 it says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. They're going to come in with enticing words. They're going to come in with philosophy. And vain deceit. I think of emptiness. Vain deceit. Vanity. What we're presented with in life. The pleasures that this world has to advertise for you. Hey, take a look at this. Hey, grab this. Hey, look at this. But they're empty. They're full of vain deceit. Philosophy of men. It says, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So here again, you're complete in Jesus Christ. You're complete in knowing His Word. You're complete in Him. He says, beware, lest any man spoil you. Through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. anything other than Jesus Christ brings forth a spoiling in your life. When you choose something else, and I think of the man going to, I think it was a king in Israel. He was going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. And it was Elisha or Elijah that came to him. The God sent him to him and says, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? We think of those with familiar spirits. We think of those that are not godliness, full of godliness. It says there in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. There is enough found in Jesus Christ. There is enough found in His Word. I want us to be careful of the philosophies of men. I want us to be careful with psychology. I want us to be careful, most of all, with Christian psychology. Why? Because they've taken away and they've taken the philosophies of men, the rudiments of the world. Not after Christ. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is what you need. The Word of God is what you need. You need to be filled with the Word of God in your life. You need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to live in and through you. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't live this life without Him. It says the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. As long as we try to live this life through our carnal mind, through the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, after the things of the flesh, after the vain deceits, it's an enemy of God. You cannot bring it. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither can it be. Ye are complete in Jesus Christ. This is the call for us as saints. This is the call for us, and this is the victory. It's found in Jesus Christ. We can't give this world anything of ourselves. We can't give this world anything of our own intellect. We must give them the Word of God. We must give them the Word of God. I'm telling you what, it's ripping apart families today. It's ripping apart churches, the philosophies of this world. It's bringing men back into bondage and to sin. It's taking, stripping us of our power that we have in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're not walking in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're putting away the grace of God that teaches us the denying of ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're departing from those things and trying to obtain our own righteousness, trying to fix our own problems by a tradition of men, by something that man has figured out that this may help you. But I'm going to tell you what you need is Jesus Christ. You need to grow in Him. Not in your knowledge, in the knowledge of Him that hath called you to glory and virtue. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I want to tell you, if He's the head of all principality and power, and you're complete in Him, what else do you need? If you're walking and struggling, it's probably because you're not walking in Him. Put away, therefore, the things that are spoiling you. Put away the things that are drawing you away from the power of God, from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, living His life in and through you. He wants you that are taught from a child the Holy Scriptures to beware of these things. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What? It's by Christ. This is what He's done. He's put off the body of sins by the circumcision made without hands. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That He's taken us who are dead in sins, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, and hath quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ, having forgiven all our trespasses. Today, how is the soil of your heart? It says, beware, beware. Are you allowing things to come in and spoil you? Are you accepting other things in your life separate than Jesus Christ? It can be a religious philosophy. It can be an earthly desire, earthly pleasures. Do you love pleasure more than you love God? What is the soil of your heart? Today, if you found the soil of your heart to be rocky or thorny, there's still hope, but it's found in Jesus Christ. Today, if you found yourself in a place where I just don't feel God, I don't feel the presence of God, I don't feel the power of God in my life, come immerse yourself in His Word. Come learn about Him. Come experience who He is in your life. In Him are hid all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Anything else will spoil you. Anything else will choke you. Let him that hath an ear, let him hear. If you're and you say, you know what, I just messed up, I've gone too far. Christ died for the ungodly. He died while we were yet sinners. The price has been paid. But the only way you're going to walk with Him is by being in Him. And He's given us His Word so we could know Him. He's given us His Word so we could know life. So today, I want to encourage you, know Jesus Christ. Don't let anything else in your life besides Jesus Christ. Know who you are in Him. And beware of the spoiling that is wanting to enter in into your life. It can be in your own home. It can be in your own church. Don't forsake God. And don't destroy the ones you love. Don't choose any other way other than Jesus Christ. I've seen many receive the truth with gladness. But I also have seen thorns spring up. I've seen rocky soil. I've seen people that have run well and then have been spoiled. So I plead with you today, seek the face of God. Get in the Word of God and know Him. I've seen my own loved ones go astray. And I plead with you today, as I love you through Jesus Christ, wake up. And those of you here that are awake and have found the Lord Jesus Christ continue on. Preach it. Tell it. Don't stop when persecution comes. Don't stop when temptation comes. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Know Him and walk with Him. But beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't love yourself. Don't love pleasures more than you love God. But be careful, even as you seek to know God more, that you don't be caught up with the philosophies of men, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world. It's Christ and Him alone. There is enough in the Word of God to know Jesus Christ. There is enough in the Word of God to walk with Him. There is enough in the Word of God to handle every situation in your life. It's not wrong to read books. It's not wrong, but make sure they're filtered through the Word of God. Make sure the philosophy are things that is not philosophy, but truth that comes from the Word of God. Otherwise, it will bring destruction. And you will be spoiled. So today, how's the soil of your heart? May be softened by the Word of God. May you seek God today. May I seek God today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and the life which He's given us. Father, it's a blessing to be able to, Lord, share these things. Father, I pray that this would not leave people in a place of struggle, but Father, that, Lord, You would minister to their hearts and that they'd know the full power of Jesus Christ. God, I can't bring anything that could deliver them unless, Lord God, You could use me as a vessel with You inside that would spill out on others. I pray for Brandon, Lord God, that You just fill him up with Your Spirit, Lord God, and that You'd spill out on the lives here, Lord God. And for Timothy later on. And for Roy after that. And in between, Lord God, each member here, as we're all members, such as are part of Your body, that You would use them, Lord God, to minister throughout today, Lord God, with the giftings that You've given them, and hide us in You, Lord God, so that people today would see Jesus Christ in Him alone, would know Him in Him alone. And we'd walk away, Lord God, from today with a strengthening and a power that comes from You and You alone. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.